Welcome to Making Waves with Steve Byquist and Dennis Rahm. Today's program is sponsored by Campbell's Resort at Lake Chelan and by Chelan Realty. Making Waves is a production of LakeChelanNow.com.
And welcome to the new edition of
Making Waves post Memorial Day pre-summer.
Here, Steve, what a great place to do this. We're downtown Chelan, as a matter of fact. We've taken the show on the road today here at The Vogue, a popular meeting spot, and we thought, hey, we need to make our faces shown here at some point or another, so we've decided to do it today. And it was a busy, busy time. We're going to recap, you know, some of the numbers from Chelan County Sheriff's Office, from local fire district, talk about a fire that fortunately spared homes, but could have been very, very significant damage had it gotten any more out of control than it did. Town was full as always, Steve.
Yep, the fire was a close call, and I think business-wise, people pretty happy coming off the weekend. Not as busy as it had been some weekends from an enforcement standpoint or a business standpoint, but it's a good shot in the arm economically for the community going into our busy summer season. A little bit of a reprieve right now, a couple weeks before school's out, but then busy, busy again.
Had a chance to run into Lake Chelan Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Mike Steele, and he was talking about the holiday weekend, said, you know, it was really good that family, the business community liked it, but yes, more of a family environment, and from the standpoint of a holiday that is busy, it is certainly a more comfortable holiday than it was maybe, you know, 15 years ago.
Much different than 10 or 15 years ago, certainly more family-oriented. I do remember 10 or 15 years ago when some of the alleyways were basically running urinals, and that certainly was not the case this time around. People were polite. How's that?
Well, speaking of polite, Steve, you and I had the chance to run into Sergeant Chris Foreman of the Chelan County Sheriff's Office, assigned to the city of Chelan, and let's give a listen to some of his feedback and comments on how the weekend played out from the sheriff's standpoint. Sergeant Foreman, you were telling me that overall, a pretty good Memorial Day weekend, but there were certainly a number of incidents that you guys had to respond to.
Yeah, we had, I would say, an overall mild weekend, considering the crowd and the amount of people that were here for the weekend. The biggest issue that we had were people choosing to drink and get behind the wheel of a motor vehicle. So we had, between State Patrol and the Chelan County Sheriff's Office, I believe we had over 15 DUIs between Friday night and Sunday night. So that kept us busy. And obviously it's a big priority for us is keeping those people off the road so they're not coming into contact with others and causing potential injury collision.
You mentioned now that obviously that's an issue. And so you and the mayor of Chelan, Mike Cooney, and some others, I guess, are going to sit down, maybe evaluate how this has gone and look at some of the models of the communities like Leavenworth, for example, to maybe try to set up a transit system for the nights when it's busy downtown on the holiday.
Yeah, that's correct. We and it was something that, you know, being downtown, waiting for people to clear out. I was out till 3 in the morning, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. And it was, you know, a combination of seeing, you know, from years past that tends to be when we have our fights and our disturbances and people taking, you know, city property and breaking it because they're intoxicated. And knowing that if we can get them, you know, on a bus or a shuttle or an Uber or taxi and get them home, then we're not going to have those issues. But right now there's a shortage of those, so you got people just loitering, hanging out, waiting around, and I actually had numerous people that were a part of that, you know, kind of that scene, waiting around for an Uber or a shuttle, saying, hey, you guys need to get more. And I also know from working Oktoberfest in Leavenworth over the years that the city of Leavenworth brings in a bunch of shuttles specifically for that event to ensure that people aren't making that decision of, oh, I don't want to wait out here anymore, I'm going to risk it and get behind the wheel of a motor vehicle. So that's, you know, kind of what we're looking at is how to solve that problem so people have a good time, but at the same time are getting home safe and not causing disturbances for the community.
Back here making some waves on LakeChelanNow.com. Dennis Rahm, Steve Byquist, glad to have you with us as we have taken our show on the road today at the Vogue downtown on Wooden Avenue, and good to hear from the Sheriff's Office. Steve, I thought it was interesting that not you know, the number of fights downtown like they've had in some of the past years, but a high number of DUIs, 16 or 17, kind of focused on those couple of nights of activity, primarily Friday, Saturday night. So that's something I know they want to get a handle on. And his mentioning of maybe trying to do something to set up a shuttle system, it seems like that would make some sense.
I know the at least some of the providers of transportation services were extremely busy at that bar closing time. And had extra people and vans and those kinds of things on the road, but not an organized kind of service that I think is envisioned by the sergeant.
We're going to come back and recap some of the numbers from the local fire district because they were busy as well. We touched on a few, but before we do that, Steve, want to mention our program today. One of the fine sponsors, Campbell's Resort, and summer dates are booking up quickly at Campbell's. At Lake Chelan, so reserve your vacation today by visiting them online. It's easy to do. Go to their website, campbellsresort.com. You can also look for their ad on our website and click on it and get to it from there, from lakechelannow.com. But for specials, family packages, news, and general information about Washington's favorite resort, check them out. campbellsresort.com, as they have a tradition of hospitality since 1901 and voted the 2018 best resort in the Northwest by Evening Magazine and by King 5 TV. And then also, of course, another one of our fine sponsors, Chelan Realty.
Most experienced organization realty-wise in the Lake Chelan Valley, certainly have years and years, 75 in fact, of experience here in the Lake Chelan Valley. Certainly professional, certainly well-respected and revered in their industry. Very easy to find, the corner of Emerson and Wooden Avenue here in beautiful downtown Chelan. And we'd invite you to also visit their website, chelanrealty.com. Yes, they've been here for years. I've done business with them for years, and well-respected and revered.
One of the things to look for, Steve, is on their feature ad on LakeChelanNow.com, they are featuring a select home. And it's pretty cool. You can just click on that. It'll take you right to it if something sparks your interest from ChelanRealty.com. Okay, we talked a bit about things that were happening from the sheriff's standpoint and the overall tenor of the Memorial Day holiday. I had a chance, Steve, to walk down on the beach one of the afternoons of the weekend, and you know, I got in and out, as quite frankly, as quickly as I can. That's a place for younger people, not necessarily my environment, but it's always fascinating to me to see when you walk down there, it's just a sea of bodies out into the water, up onto the shoreline. There were also people, families, which was nice to see, that were busy up on the putting course, riding the go-karts, lots of activities going on.
It's good to see the family environment as opposed to environments where we had SWAT teams and those kinds of things several years ago. Yes, good to see the families.
All right, let's swing around to Chelan Fire and Rescue, Steve. According to Fire Chief Tim Lemon, they had the busiest Memorial Day weekend since about 2013, logging 27 emergency responses. 18 of those were medical aid calls. I'm sure a few of those were alcohol-related aid calls as well. But they did have one kind of scary incident, and it was a fire that happened on Sunday morning on Highway 150 upslope to Orchard View Drive area. That's an area up there, you know, it was just past the roundabout, and then you go up the slope from there, and an area up on top of some really nice newer homes that are up there, and they were certainly threatened because the wind had come up, and the response time in this incident was pretty amazing because they had personnel there from ENIAT, from Okanagan Douglas, from, of course, the local fire districts in Chelan and Manson. DNR helicopter responded. And within a little bit more, Steve, than an hour, that fire was first reported and was contained.
Amazing job, particularly getting the helicopter here, then some pictures taken by a numbers of people and provided us here on the website. Really highlights, I guess, the work that they did, how quickly it occurred, and it's also good to know that we have people out there that are willing to be reporters and help us out along the way.
I went up there on Orchard View to kind of get the perspective from up above and got some shots of the structure protection crews that were in that area. So the response was very strong. It was very quick. And they kind of dodged a bullet, quite frankly, on that one. That could have been something else. And also, Steve, some credit to some of the citizen responders, because some of the first people on the fire were people that were driving by or residents in the area, and they got down there, started digging some fire lines and putting water on things.
You bet. And that certainly all helps. The couple of things it points out: fire-wise, defensible spaces. It also points out that if you're looky-loo, stay the heck away, thank you very much, because the first responders and the property owners that are there need space.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have to tell you, a little bit of a concern, I think, of a lot of people here. Most of the people that reside here know how to deal with fire situation in terms of what not to do. Don't get in the way. Don't be a looky-loo too close to it where responders can't get to where they need to be. For gosh sakes, if you're in a boat and you see a helicopter that's working the fire, trying to get down and load up buckets of water to drop on that fire, don't hurry over there in your boat or your jet ski or whatever. Stay the heck out of the way. I mean, it was ridiculous that that was an issue for a while, and it's just not necessary. Sometimes common sense needs to prevail.
I've spent numbers of hours on sheriff's office boats in years past, and boat that I used for pool engineering on the Holden Mine Remediation Project, doing just what you're saying, keeping people away from water retrieval areas for helicopters on numbers of fires. So you're right. Stay away, please. Use the telephoto lens instead of your... There you go.
So, yeah, it was a pretty typical, very busy Memorial Day weekend. It all kicked up, actually, on the Thursday preceding it, Steve, with the downtown. They had the farmer's market. They had Riverwalk Inn doing its 100th anniversary celebration. That was kind of a cool thing. They had the Memorial Day parade, which... quite frankly, that has grown over the last several years. It was about a 35-minute parade. Really neat to see that, including the honor guard that was marching through. And then there were Memorial Day services on Monday in Chelan and in Manson as well. So it was a busy time, but a fun time. And I guess we're glad to be through it, and now we can move on to summer coming up. All right, we've got more ahead here on Making Waves with Dennis and Steve from the Vogue Downtown. As a matter of fact, special guest coming up is going to be a member of the City of Chelan Planning Commission, Rachel Goldie, because, Steve, there's been a tremendous amount of talk and momentum and effort moving to try and get and attack the housing dilemma that exists here in the Lake Chelan Valley. Now, this isn't unique to Chelan. It's happening in Wenatchee. It's happening in Seattle. It's happening all over the United States. But a real problem here in the Lake Chelan Valley, and so people are getting together and talking about it. They had another meeting this week, and we'll find out from Rachel maybe some of what's going on there. I know you've had a chance to talk to the Manson School Superintendent about housing issue, even affects things like school. So we'll tackle affordable housing coming up next here on LakeChelanNow.com.
Don't go anywhere. Dennis and Steve will be making more waves in just a moment.
And we welcome you back, Making Waves here on LakeChelanNow.com. Dennis and Steve, as we are positioned here at the Vogue in downtown Chelan. And before we get to our special guest, Rachel Goldie of the Chelan Planning Commission, we're going to talk affordable housing. Want to make mention of the fact Campbell's one of our sponsors. And by the way, Steve, they're doing kind of a cool thing on Friday nights now at Campbell's where they're getting fancy with prime rib specials. It includes fresh shucked oysters, fresh seafood, live music. Happens every Friday evening at Campbell's Resort, and kind of a fun thing to do. And then they're doing a special Father's Day event that's coming up. So if you want to treat dad or granddad maybe to a special Father's Day, check out Campbell's. And they're doing this thing. This sounds like something for a bike whist. It's called the first beef steak dinner that they've done.
I'm in.
No utensils, no napkins or anything like that. You just kind of use your hands and eat. What do you think?
I'm in. I'm ready. Medium rare.
There you go. It's going to include meat, drinks. Great company. For more information, visit campbellsresort.com for get your barbarian on, right?
I'm up for it. I've never been a table napkin utensils kind of guy. You know, yeah. Sure, right.
That's why you like Up Lake so much.
That's it. It's a guy thing.
All right. Hey, let's welcome Rachel Goldie into the program here today to talk affordable housing. What a transition, right? Poor Rachel. They just had a meeting, Steve, and affordable housing, as you know, you've been around this valley for a long, long time. Always maybe been a bit of an issue, but nothing like it is today.
You know, we export our finest product, not apples, our kids. And a lot of them like to come back. And I've been in this situation more than once. And the affordability of coming back is much more pronounced now than it has been in the past. It's extremely difficult. And we're seeing, for instance, in our chat with Matt Charlton, Superintendent of Schools in Manson, we're seeing the full-time equivalent students drop off as economy improves elsewhere, or they're able now, instead of bunching up and having two or three families living together, what have you, to move to other areas, Mansfield, Antioch, Pateras, what have you, and either commute back and forth to work perhaps. But those full-time equivalents, which is how a school district gets its money from the state, are dropping off. And it's more pronounced now at the preschool and kindergarten. So it's the harbinger of things to come. And in fact, Manson is forecasting quite a number of students fewer next year, budget-wise, than they're dealing with this year. And they've seen a fall-off as well in the other grades. So, and to the point where they're having trouble attracting new teachers to the community because of affordability. And in that particular district, they're offering additional money, stipend, what have you, to new teachers who will come here and actually live in the district. They want teachers to live in the district because they have a connection to community. It's not been affordable. Same thing with law enforcement. Same thing we've heard from the hospital in the past. Trouble attracting medical staff, doctors, particularly newer ones, to the community because of the housing issue, which is becoming more and more pronounced.
Brings us nicely to Rachel Goldie here, because Rachel, I know you've heard all of these stories and more in gearing up for this desire to look at affordable housing, and maybe what are some of the options for the community? How do we move it forward from here? The city has retained the services of a affordable housing consultant who was in town for a period of 3 or 4 days and did surveys and studies, and I know you're going to get a report back on that. But that's not stopping you, because you guys are forging forward. You had a meeting this week, again, to address affordable housing. And it looks like now, Rachel, you have settled on one path and one plan.
That's right. And so that was actually a recommendation from Julie Brunner, the housing consultant that the city hired. And so her first suggestion is the community land trust model, which is what she works closely with at her hometown in Orcas Island. And we actually just had a gathering in Bend where we discussed community land trust ideas, and that seems like this is going to be the option that's going to work for us. It's sustainable for the community, and it'll go over in the long term. And so we're just trying to get together a team of people that are going to be experienced, skilled, and committed to this model to move forward and get housing for the teachers and the firefighters and students that we just mentioned. So it's a staggering number of people that need housing that are, people tend to think of affordable housing as we're building for very low income. We're just trying to get housing for, there's a whole spectrum of the housing needed, but we are trying to work on this missing gap here. There's a barrier to entry for first-time home buyers, and to keep our small-town community in character, I think we need to address that.
For people that may not be well-versed in some of the verbiage, nomenclature that goes around with any kind of a thing like this, including affordable housing, give us kind of the nutshell explanation of what a community land trust entails. How does it work?
So the Community Land Trust is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. It's composed of 12 board members, and it'll have an executive director and everyone beneath that. And so those board members recommend that they stand for the people that live in the community that you're building. They stand for, it represents the community at large, so business owners, or anyone that's committed to the cause or wants to be a part of it, and then also major donors. And so you kind of get that tripartite system that represents the community very well. And so the Community Land Trust will purchase land like a land trust does for conservation, but instead we're going to build housing on the land. And so it takes that land cost, which is about a third of the cost of building, out of the equation. And so in doing that, you make the home cheaper for the person to get financing for and to eventually live in for their first home. And that provides the next step. So it goes from rentals to that to wealth creation. And so we're just trying to fix that step that doesn't quite exist yet.
What has to be done then, Rachel, to actually form this organization, and when might that happen?
So currently we have Sharon Lucas, who has so much experience in 501c3 creation and development. So she's going to look at our bylaws and get us incorporated as quickly as possible. We'll be working closely on that. We just created several groups last night that are committed to these different elements of our business plan that will go into the CLT. And so organization is part of it, vetting new projects. We have some very skilled people on that. We had about 40 people in the room last night committed to these different elements that need to come together. And if I had to say, I think that we'll be incorporated and on a really good path in about a month or two.
Well, that's pretty quick. What are some of the things that came out of the meeting that you had here this week at the Vogue on affordable housing? Again, you say you had a number of people that were interested. I'm assuming it's almost like if you're not there yet, but you got to start looking at groups of people that will attack different areas like promotion, marketing, fundraising, all of these different builders, contractors, whatever.
Yeah, so I think that we have some experienced folks that are going to be committed to those roles. The builders community brought up some great questions last night about the process that this might entail. The one thing that the Community Land Trust offers that's a little different from traditional models is that ground lease level. So we're taking out that cost. And not only that, but the nonprofit management. So the CLT providing a lot of that management of the properties is something we need to kind of build education around, because that is what makes it different from other models, and that's what makes it work. And so just trying to get that message out, get out to the community, get some fundraising going. Most of this will be private donations and private land donations that will go into this. But that also removes that governmental rule barrier. So we don't actually have as much restrictions as other, like, very low-income providers do. And so it's actually going to provide a lot of freedom to do exactly what this community is asking for.
You see that the city of Chelan plays a role in providing free or reduced price, I don't mean lunches like at school, free or reduced price hookups to sewer, hookups to water, those kinds of things that are impediments now to some people building when you have, in some instances, extremely high costs to just hook up.
Yeah, so the city definitely will play a role. They are looking at a different rate structure, a scaled structure for the GFC rates, and so that's study is going on as we speak. The city is creating an affordable housing fund that might subsidize some of these projects. So if it's deed restricted affordable housing, which this community land trust model will be, then it's possible we could get subsidies through the city. But we are trying to kind of break off from the city. I mean, this is going to be a nonprofit, privately funded venture. And so we will kind of be like any other customer, except for the fact that the city is going to create these affordable housing funds, and hopefully that will help subsidize at least our operational costs over time.
Rachel, one of the things I think that should be pointed out, I know Julie Brunner talked about this when I had a chance to visit with her, is that the focus right now is on getting all of this done. The need is right now, but this isn't something like you snap your fingers and you've got houses built by, you know, next winter or next spring even. It could be a process that's going to take 3-4 years to actually get construction done.
And that very well could be true. I can't say that that's not the case. It might take time, from the energy we have in the room last night, from offers that have been made of expertise, land donations, people just willing to help out and knowing that this is really important in our community, I anticipate it'll be much quicker than that.
Let's talk about that. I had heard rumors that some people have already stepped up and said, I'll donate a piece of property if it can be used for this. Are you getting those types of offers?
Yeah, and so I don't know how much I can share about exactly what they are. I probably can't, but we've had some sizable offers made to the land trust already, and there's going to that land trust gathering and hearing of just the different kinds of land that can be donated and the reasons. So, I mean, you can get a tax break for donating your land. You can get all these different, like, little incentives. And so I think that the land trust model provides something that that other models don't, in that aspect of donating as an incentive.
The school districts locally have explored, some of the larger employers have explored actually putting up housing for their help, housing for their teachers, those kinds of things. However, they opt not to, because it's very difficult to be an employer that also becomes a landlord. So some of these kinds of organizations may be more apt to participate in a land trust situation, which takes removes them from being a landlord slash employer or employer slash landlord, because that can create difficult relationships.
That's exactly right. And so at the gathering, we talked a lot about this, about how employers could become major donors in this process, in this community land trust, and then they can be on the board and have a say in what goes on in the land trust, but they don't have to manage it. And that's something that the community land trust offers that is extremely helpful, as far as, you know, you're actually getting the housing that you're asking for, but you don't have to manage it.
Sounds like you made some great strides at this meeting. What's next?
So next steps are probably most important would be getting our 501c3 incorporation. There's a few things that kind of bank on that, as far as like getting volunteers or getting any kind of financing or something like that. So that's kind of our next step. And then just raising awareness in the community of what this model is. We need, obviously, this is privately funded. We need major donors. We need people stepping up and saying, I'm willing to commit to this. And so in that, we need to provide a solid business model that proves to them this is something that works. And so education outreach is kind of our next step.
And then the city is still awaiting the final report from the consultant.
Yeah, so Julie Brunner will have her final report, I think somewhere towards September is what we were thinking. And so we're still in the process of compiling those surveys. I think we have like 300 or more surveys to go through still. So that's what I'll be doing over the weekend.
You're going to have some busy times ahead indeed. Well, we want to thank you for stopping by to visit with us today and talk about the affordable housing subject. Again, it's not going to go away. It's going to be talked about, and I know your group will be getting very active and be out and about in presenting information on this. Have you been gratified by the response that you've gotten up to this point?
So gratified by the response. I mean, so we've talked to other community land trusts that are baffled by the fact that we not only have city support that has been a total turning point. Other community land trusts that haven't had that said that's a make or break situation. And then we had 40 people in the room that are skilled, qualified, committed to the cause. And I think it's because we are so committed to our culture and our heritage and our community here that we know it's important to get these on the ground.
Now, I'm going to take you aside a little bit from building houses that people are going to purchase, but what is the dialogue that's happening in terms of maybe the rental market as well? There's really not much in the way of apartment complexes in the Lake Chelan Valley. Is that on the table at all in some way to try to maybe move forward some of those projects?
So the discussion about rentals is, we are hearing in the community that's very important. And we know that rentals are a part of the answer. Unfortunately for the community land trust model, rentals are more expensive to maintain. And actually in the valley right now, they're more expensive to build. And so, and then also research through community land trust says that if someone could purchase and create wealth, they probably would. They wouldn't necessarily want to rent if they had the option to own and have autonomy over their own life. And so, like, we're finding that that's a part of the answer. It's certainly going to be part of the answer, and other organizations will provide that. Hopefully the traditional market will provide some of that. But the community land trust model works best in this home ownership model. As of now, if we find a rental solution that works, we're going to take it. We're going to provide as much housing as we can.
And, of course, the more availability there is, if somebody is buying something where maybe they've been renting, then that opens up a rental for somebody else.
Exactly. And this was something that a member brought up last night that's very important. It's a spectrum of housing that's needed. We're just filling a portion. We're going to do the best we can to fill all portions, but you got to move in a direction, and we're choosing it. And hopefully other organizations will do the same.
Rachel Goldie, thank you very much. If someone wants to maybe get on board and they haven't had a chance yet, how do they get a hold of somebody involved in this?
So you can email me directly. It's rgoldie@cityofchelan.us or call me. It's 425-275-2002. And just let me know what you'd like to be involved in. We need skilled, experienced, committed members to the cause that would like to spend some time helping out. That'd be great.
Rachel Goldie, thank you very much. We appreciate your time and your energy. We're going to come back here. We're at the Vogue in downtown Chelan doing some making waves of our own. We'll be back in a moment on LakeChelanNow.com. Our thanks to Rachel Goldie of the Chelan Planning Commission talking about affordable housing. Steve, that was quite interesting and great to see the momentum. I know she's really charged up by the enthusiasm they had in the room with 40-plus people all ready to kind of dig in and see what they can get accomplished.
Certainly hope it has legs, that this is not a conversation and an organization that will decrease in enthusiasm over time. And, yeah, hope it has legs, runs for a long time.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Making Waves. We've been doing it here at the Vogue today. Always fun to get out and about a little bit. Steve, thanks for agreeing to a cup of coffee and a program.
Thanks for buying the coffee.
Anytime. Want to thank again, of course, Chelan Realty, one of our sponsors here of Making Waves, the most experienced and knowledgeable real estate firm in the Lake Chelan Valley. Over 75 years of serving the real estate needs. If you want to buy or if you want to sell, check them out at ChelanRealty.com. Look for their featured home as well. Great group of people down there with a lot of experience. And again, our thanks to Campbell's Resort at Lake Chelan as well for sponsoring the program here today. Next week, we're going to have at least part of the program, I know. We're going to visit with our Lake Chelan Chamber of Commerce Executive Director, Mike Steele, who also does double duty. He's the Republican 12th District State Representative as well. And we'll have some conversations with him about things that are going to happen in Chelan here over the course of the season and into the shoulder season, but also some things, Steve, from the legislative side that he's working on that I think will be of interest.
Got a couple of bills out there that he's going to be proposing that will have direct impact on the Lake Chelan Valley. Yeah.
Should be fun. Look for the conversation. Thank you so much for listening to our program. Dennis Rump, Steve Byquist for now, Making Waves here on LakeChelanNow.com.
That's our show for this week. Thanks for listening, and remember, all weekly episodes of Making Waves can be found under the Listen tab on our website at LakeChelanNow.com. This episode has been sponsored by Campbell's Resort at Lake Chelan and by Chelan Realty.